Afternoon, everybody. We're going to do two things this afternoon. We're going to continue our discussion on what I don't know what I entitled it, theology of worship or something that we did. Yeah, what do I entitle the whole? Yeah, we're going to continue that. And we're going to start a new course that we'll just kind of do here and there throughout our time together, Essential Doctrines, which is I have a full course that I taught to the senior pastors and then a reduced course that I taught to the School of Campus Ministry, and then I reduced that one for this group. So it won't be an in-depth theology course, but just kind of a brief walk through some of the most important parts of theology. But before we start, I thought we ought to recap a little bit about what we learned this morning. That was a powerful session, and I'd like to hear what you thought was the most significant thing that you heard that was life-changing for you this morning. So, Mike, start us off. What did you hear? Yeah.
You want a mic?
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, about priesthood.
Yeah.
Just being brought back to the fact that, you know, all of us really could are priests, meaning that we can we actually see God at the same time we minister to him. Really, it's just an amazing thing to think about. That's one thing that really caught me. It's one of my favorite parts of the topic this morning.
All right. Charlemagne?
Yes, sir. the fact that what we're doing right now is just, the rebuilding of the Tabernacle of David, that thought. This is your leading worship, you're leading your musicians, but this is something that was initiated beforehand.
Yeah.
It's such a privilege that I'm a part of it.
Yeah.
So it made me look what I'm doing in a different perspective, yeah, right now, in a deeper perspective.
That's great. That's what the prophetic ministry helps you to do. See the big picture. Jackie, how about you? Lee, pass her a microphone, would you please?
Yeah, I was just reminded of, reinforced by the words that, what are the unacceptable and acceptable sacrifices for God?
Yeah.
That we should be very careful with what we are doing as a minister of God.
Yeah, great. Jerome?
I was just reminded of that, the way we learn to worship God in the desert will help us learn to continue to worship him as well.
Yeah.
In that place of promised land. So that really strikes me all throughout.
Yeah.
And same as with Jackie, having that mindset of clarity of what is acceptable and unacceptable to God.
Great.
Sacrifices.
Gavian? Charles, could you pass her a microphone? Thank you.
Somewhat the same as Charles, that, you know, when Pastor Manny recounted about the history of the rest of the temple and all that stuff, and I was just amazed that even then, as you said, the prophetic insight that even then God really wanted the Gentiles to worship him. And it's just a privilege. And Lord, thank you that you thought of us, because we are Gentiles. And even now, we are part of that restoration. And it's to call out, to go to the nations, to call out the nations to worship God. And it's just an awesome privilege and responsibility.
Yeah, great, thank you. All right, we left off in our crafting of theology worship on this heading called Elements, Forms, and Circumstances. Elements, Forms, and Circumstances. And this is some important terminology that's been used in the history of the church to discuss the idea, the concept of worship. What page is that, Ray? Page three. Jay, it's in there somewhere, I'm sure. Yeah, okay. Page 3, yeah. At the bottom, right?
Yeah.
Elements, forms, and circumstances. Historically, the church has delineated three aspects of corporate worship. Elements, forms, and circumstances. And it's good to understand these and make sure they're clear in our mind. Number 2, the elements of public worship are the what of worship. The what. The scriptural activities the Bible lists that constitute worship. So that's what we mean when we talk about elements. For example, in the New Testament, these include reading scripture, prayer, singing, preaching the word, collecting offerings, and celebrating the sacraments of baptism and communion. Those are the elements listed in the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament also lists some forms of dance. But the New Testament elements of worship are listed there. Next subpoint, there is little or no freedom in the elements of public worship. We worship God the way He prescribes. So that connects to Manny telling us the story. What was his name? Uzzah? That reached out, right? Trying to create your own methods for worship. So the elements of worship are set. God set them. And He doesn't allow any creativity in the elements of worship. Okay? Corporate worship should include these factors: reading of scripture, and singing, preaching the word, prayer, collecting offerings, especially collecting offerings, celebrating the sacraments of baptism and communion, okay? So the list is made for us. We don't add to it or take away. These are the elements of worship. Now, number 3, the forms of worship are the specific content of an element of worship. So the Bible tells us to pray in public worship, but it doesn't tell us what form that prayer should take. The Bible tells us we should sing in corporate worship, but it doesn't regulate the form that that singing takes. You understand? We're to preach in public worship, but we're not told if it should be topical or expository. We're given a certain amount of freedom in the forms of worship. So the scriptures should be consulted for divine warrants concerning these forms. In particular, we should look for explicit commands and approved examples. So, for example, in singing, we're told in two places, in Ephesians and Colossians, that we sing in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, hymns, and I've forgotten the other. But we're given some degree, some understanding of the form that singing should take. So we research scripture to get information, but as our next subpoint says, there's a greater freedom in the forms of public worship. There are many scriptural principles that direct the forms. So you might go to one church, one particular organization, and they sing hymns primarily. There are some organizations, I don't know if they're here in the Philippines, but especially in the South and in Nashville, there's a large group of, called the Church of Christ. And they sing without, there's no musical instruments in their service whatsoever. And specifically because the New Testament, there's no mention of scripture, of musical instruments in the New Testament. You see? And so they have a radical view of the breaking between the two testaments if it's not specifically reinstituted in the New Testament, then it's not valid for New Testament worship. So there are no instruments listed in the New Testament. Therefore, in their church, you just do a cappella. That's all. No instruments at all. Which sounds a little boring. Yeah. although a cappella singing is beautiful, but only in contrast to singing with instruments, right? Yes, Guy? Are there harps?
Yes, the ministry of harps.
Yeah.
Are there trumpets in Revelation?
Yes.
Oh, no, there we go. You know, it'd be hard to do your worship if your only accompaniment instrument was a trumpet, though, wouldn't it? You can't strum a trumpet. Unfortunate. Yeah. So, different forms, right? So some churches are extremely contemporary in their praise and worship forms. Others blend all sorts of different forms. And we're given a great deal of freedom and creativity in the forms of worship. Is this making sense? Is this clear? All right. The last category is called the circumstances of worship. And these are the temporal and spatial conditions in which an element of worship is carried out. So it asks questions like where, how long, for example. So we know that we are to gather corporately from the New Testament, but where is not specified. This is a circumstance. So it could be a home. It could be a church building. It could be a mall, right? That's the circumstance, the actual where. Or perhaps the receiving of tithes and offerings. A circumstance might be, do you receive it before the preaching or after the preaching, right? Or when it comes to how long you sing. Do you sing 15 minutes? Do you sing 30 minutes? You sing an hour and 15 minutes. Those are all the circumstances. And there is near total liberty in the circumstances of public worship. Near total liberty. The primary rule is let all things be done decently and in order. Any thoughts, comments about that? It's important not to confuse an element of worship with a form of worship. And that's what the religious mind tends to do, right? What becomes acceptable is, well, for example, when I first got saved in 1976 and contemporary worship was starting, there was a lot of pressure and a lot of animosity from the traditional mainline churches that what we were doing was wrong, perhaps sinful, and maybe even demonic. Yeah, because that was, you know, there was a rock beat, right? And rock and roll music, we know, is from the devil, right? And so you're singing devil music in church. Sounds funny now, but this was a fairly common complaint. It's interesting, most of those churches now do the same songs that charismatic churches do. If you go, at least in the States, if you go to those churches, now they're not near as exuberant. There's not clapping. And the instrumentation is not as loud. And usually they tend to do the softer songs. But you would be able to sing along. You would know most of the songs. Although they might insert a few traditional hymns now and again. But see, they confuse the elements of worship with the form. What form it takes. So we know we should do singing. We know we should have instruments. What kind of form is acceptable in a church setting as far as the music? What are the boundaries, right? There are some boundaries, probably. I would think. There are some musical forms that in their basic structure are not biblical. Their very form and the structure would violate Scripture. If you study Scripture, you can reason and develop principles from Scripture on principles that should direct musical forms. People have a tendency to think that musical forms in themselves are neutral. But there's nothing neutral in this universe. Because there is a God who created things, who has a way to do things, and there's an enemy who imitates him. So everything has varying degrees of rightness or wrongness to it. And so there's two extremes you can take. There's a certain extreme that only this form is acceptable. And it's a traditional, the way that church has always done it. There's another extreme that says any musical form whatsoever is acceptable. Both of them are extremes, and both of them are in error. How you doing with that? Comments? Questions? I see some confused expressions on the face. I always get that when I mention that. So who wants to broach the topic? Who wants to say publicly what everyone is thinking privately? Gavianne, go ahead.
I think I mentioned that to you before when you first mentioned it.
Oh, did I?
I want you to expound on it, but you said it will take another class.
Well, maybe this is the class, huh?
Okay, so go. What are those forms that are not acceptable?
Well, can you think of any? Nobody can? Yeah, Marv?
Laughing the spirit.
Oh, well, I think that's a different topic, isn't it? Yeah. We're talking about musical forms right now, so let's talk about musical forms. Can you think of any musical form that just the structure, the form, without words or content, would not be, without words? We're just talking about the musical structure. Charles?
There is a thing in music that when you combine three tones, it's called a tritone, or they call it as a demonic.
Yeah.
They brand it as demonic.
Yeah, for good reason. For good reason. Can you explain it to us?
No, the dissonance.
Yeah.
The dissonant, what do you call this? Yeah, tritone.
Perform. Really? Is that demonic?
No, it's just a theory.
Oh, okay. Can I hear that again? A diminished chord is a demonic chord. Okay. Who's they?
The music theory.
Okay, yeah.
It's a theory.
Interesting. Thank you, Charles, for that demonstration. Anyone else can think of musical forms? Yeah, Lee. Lee's got the mic, and then Jay.
I don't know, it's just a thought, but I think it would be very inappropriate for our worship time, particularly our congregational worship, to have growling.
Okay, but now that's not, we're not talking about musical form or instrumentation.
Okay.
We still haven't talked about that.
Okay, so
yeah.
I guess the question's not yet that clear.
No. Ray can't see any. Axel or Jay, you were up first, right? Blues? Oh, I sure hope that wouldn't be demonic. I'd be really disappointed. Axel?
are used from in a wordy manner. Sometimes, like for example, if you go to clubs, and if you hear just a particular song, and then it will reminds you of those things that are immoral or something like that.
Yeah.
For example, is yeah, Careless Whisper, something like that. There are so many songs that are so.
But that's we're not at musical form yet. Now we've got some memory or some kind of identification with an event. That's still we're not. If that same melody, if it had a connection with a positive or a happy event in your life, would be different. So we still haven't come up with any yet.
Yes.
Ray.
Is it all right if I could demonstrate this?
Sure, sure. Are you just itching to play? Is that all? Do you have one?
Not really, but yeah, the one that Charles.
Yeah.
How do you call him? Charlemagne?
Yeah, Charlemagne, yeah. That's what he calls himself.
Saying a while ago. It's really subjective. And he was talking about the triton, which is this. But we also have a tonal. We can invert that. We also have the vector diagrams where you interchange notes and, you know, like.
No, that's the one.
Give it to me. Now, if he did that for an hour straight, how would you feel?
Fear.
Fear. Fear.
No, you wouldn't.
You
wouldn't.
Horror movie.
Yeah. Have you ever had a horror movie on or a scary movie, and then you turned off the volume, none of the music? There's nothing scary about the movie whatsoever. It's all the music that's creating an emotion of fear in you. It's creating, the music is creating the emotion of fear in you. Yeah. How about, anybody know who John Cage is?
Yeah.
John Cage. Okay, that's a perfect example. John Cage has a contemporary atheistic worldview, the nihilistic worldview, you know the term nihilism. Nothing has meaning, the universe has no value, everything's random and accident. And so in attempting to communicate that in his music, he created compositions that were based totally on chance. So he would have a scale, and he just flipped coins to determine the next note. Heads it's the one note, tails it's another. And creates whole compositions just based on the randomness of the universe. Flip a coin, head, tails. And you listen to these compositions, and of course they have no melody, there's no form, there's no beauty. And as you listen to it, you feel bad. I mean, you want to do bad things, right? Certainly, psychiatrists have shown the connection between certain kinds of music and a tendency towards sinful, violent behavior. And that's a well-established fact. Is it just the words? No, it's the musical form. Because the musical form creates real emotions and opens you up to spiritual forces. Many of the early rock musicians, Jimi Hendrix and those, if you remember the old rock and roll seminar, they tapped into this. They realized that they could brainwash people, get them to a point of where their mental faculties just broke down, that they could preach anything they wanted. All the Dionysian rituals throughout history. Do you know Dionysus? He was the Greek god of wine. Bacchus would be his corollary. But all the chaos festivals. Mardi Gras, for example, is a chaos festival. It requires a certain kind of music that gets you into a certain kind of frenzy. And it opens the door to demonic activity. And all moral standards break down and it becomes open game to just all kinds of activity. These are forms, musical forms, that are by their very nature demonic. Okay, challenge me. Ray, go ahead, push back.
Yeah, I actually have a pushback on that.
Good.
Isn't it, what I can see from, what I can get from what you're saying is that music has it has a barometer of what's moral and immoral, right?
Keep going and I'll see if I can say yes or not.
Yeah, but aren't we going back to worldviews, not the musical form?
No, I think what we're saying is that our worldview influences.
That's the reason why. But as far as the musical form is concerned, there is nothing wrong with that.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say it comes out of and supports.
Like, for example, the one you were saying a while ago, there was this story about Gregory, how Gregorian chant started, right? And he was so brokenhearted, and he went home and just banged the piano. And then all of a sudden he felt, oh, hey, that's creating an expression. And so he started, and that's where Gregorian chant started, right? So it comes from a view, not from a form.
Yeah. First of all, I think I would probably want to check the historicity of that story, first of all. Because Gregorian chant isn't angry.
I wasn't saying that he was doing an angry music, he was expressing something out of his emotions.
Yeah, but Gregorian chant is
I'm talking about a Gregorian chant. I'm talking about the world, the view, and the music form.
I understand. But the form finds its expression from the worldview. It flows out of.
The form is the, tool.
It's the expression of.
It's like this. This is a tool.
Yeah,
but if I use it for stabbing, it becomes a sin.
But music is more than a tool, because not only does it flow out of a worldview, but it creates in people sinful behaviors, releases them. You see? So the structure itself was created out of an ungodly worldview. Music and all the various forms are godly, it comes from God. But you can pervert those forms, you see? Just like sex is from God, right? But sinful people pervert the forms of it, right? So same thing with music. Music as a form is created by God and beautiful, but you could pervert it and make it do something that it wasn't intended to do, and the form itself actually becomes demonic. Something to think about anyway, okay? Jam, you've been silent. I'd like to hear your response. What are you thinking?
I was just listening.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, that's good. Musicians usually have a tendency to react one way or another to this, because we like the idea, or you like the idea, that any form is acceptable if you can put God into it. But I think if you think about it, I think you'll realize that forms can be corrupted and perverted, and that's so those forms in their corruption then become unsanctifiable, right? Like there, we can't rescue that form. Okay, now there's some kind of forms that have admixture. Someone mentioned blues earlier. Okay, I think there's some admixture of, if we got, let's say we have a spectrum, okay? So on one end, this is pure the music of heaven, right? Probably the closest we've got here on earth is Bach. And then you go all the way to the other extreme. And musical forms fit on different places along the way. rock music in its purest sense can be dangerous as a form because of the backbeat, because of the strong rhythmic form, and the effect that those kind of things have upon us. Blues is also, can be, you know, it's moving down the spectrum, if you will. Now, all those things, at least those ones I mentioned, they can be rescued. They can be sanctified, right? And made more and more godly by our intention, by our content, by our attitudes, etc. But there are some forms that are unrescuable. But we couldn't sanctify that music, right? It has from its very origin, it's from hell itself. Axel, you've been holding that microphone. Okay. Because you look like you were ready to talk there. Okay, that was helpful. Okay, great. Jay, could you give Jay the mic? Yeah. Say again?
Examples of songs that you said that are unredeemable form.
Forms, yeah. I'm thinking about the kind of forms that are involved in tribal demonic rituals, which are a lot of drums, a lot of percussive instrumentation. How about what? Goth. Goth isn't it more content? Sure, yeah. I was a sinner for many years. Remember my continuum? Remember that I drew my little continuum up here with Bach on this end? Yeah. And then we had rock, we had blues, you know. We had country. Keep with me. Rap. Okay. No. Death metal.
Jazz.
Gosh. Now don't go messing with my jazz now, okay? No, I think some forms of jazz are highly dissonant. And, you know, there's melodic jazz, right? Fusion, yeah, jazz. And then there's... Yeah, Jay? Yeah, tribal, yeah. No, I probably not. Yeah, yeah. Demonic, yeah, okay. Demonic, annoying, it's the same thing, right? Yeah. Yeah, Lee?
Now I have two sets of questions.
Two sets, okay, good.
With regards to the tribal, there has to be a fine line with regards to defining which tribal songs or which tribal forms are those that are demonic, because there are definitely... tribal songs that are redeemable. I'm not saying that they were intended.
Yeah, I'm with you. Keep going.
You know, intended for the purpose of worshiping the God that we know deserves worship, but they're definitely redeemable, because I hear a lot of, in fact, if you listen to one of our theme songs we wrote for EN 2010, the melody and the intro for that is a bit tribal.
Yeah.
So that's just what I'm saying. Actually, it's not a question, but maybe it's a comment I want
to... It's a good comment, yeah.
Yeah, and the second one I want to say is, actually, this isn't much related to music, but actually, it is as well a little bit, because I'm reaching to a group of... I'm just reaching to a new group right now of people who are dancers, actually, and they claim to... their genre is... I don't know if you... I'm not familiar with it. It's crumping.
Yeah.
So whatever that is, they're saying that they claim crumping is something that's biblical. And they say that crumping comes from God. So I have no idea what he's talking about, but I've yet to see it. But, you know, actually, it's a question, which, how do you really find that out? Even if the person really claims for it to be, you know, from God.
It's a great question. Great question. I just wanted to draw that continuum on the board here, okay? So I think that's helpful for us to think about. You know what a continuum's like, right? So if we put on this extreme end, this is godly. And on this end, ungodly. Demonic, right? So I was kidding. I put Bach over here. I wasn't kidding too much, but maybe the closest. And then maybe we can put John Cage down here at that end, right? And then musical forms just fit along a continuum. And so there are certain biblical principles about melody, about the relationship between rhythm and melody and various things like that, that would be biblical principles. Then there would be unbiblical principles that affect forms and music. And then there's just everything along the way here. And so the problem with the reason I drew a continuum is because it's not a line where you put this music's on this side and that music is on that side. See, devil music here, God music here. And we go down the list of all the different forms and decide which one goes in which category. I don't think you can do that. I think there's just, it's a continuum. So the varying degrees of unholiness in the form. And everybody has a different, there's a certain degree of taste involved here. To some people, a musical form would be, it would affect their spirit negatively, listening to it. You know, my boys like John Coltrane. Okay, now that's a jazz form that if I listen to it, I just want to vomit, and I'm tense. You know, it just gets me all tense because of the form. They can listen to it and stay in the spirit. Okay, now it would be easy for me to say that's demonic music. How can you listen to it? Now, I think I can say the musical form is less biblical than the musical form of Bach. I can say that with confidence. Less biblical, but I can't brand it as demonic, right? But I know for me, for my personal taste, I could never worship God. If you put some lyrics to John Coltrane, I would have to leave the room, right? Although my boys, they may experience God's presence in a way that they never have in their life. So there is a matter of taste. There's a matter of culture, you know, what you've gotten used to. If you didn't grow up with classical music, it's hard to get a taste for it, you know. It's taken me a number of years to just get rock and roll out of my system and to enjoy classical music. So there's a lot of room for opinion, preference, taste, etc. And yet what we can't say, and the whole musical art world wants us to say this, they want us to say that forms of expression are neutral. We can't say that. That's not biblical. Any form is perfectly fine. It's just neutral. It's what you put into it. No, that's not true. There are forms that are more biblical than others because God has something to say about everything in life. And there was music in heaven long before there was an earth, right? So there are musical forms that they play in heaven, and there are some, obviously, that they don't. And so we don't say the form is neutral. Does that make sense to you? I need some feedback on that one. Yeah, Jan?
I remember before I read this article that like a group of scientists, they made an experiment. They placed two groups of mice in one. one and yeah. two yeah. groups. Yeah. One, they made listen. They made the mice listen to classical music for like 24 hours straight, nonstop. Yeah. The other group, they made those animals listen to Anthrax, which is heavy metal. So 24 hours nonstop, same volume, same. So
you know where this is going, right? I mean, without even hearing the results, you know what's gonna.
The mice that listened to Anthrax, they started killing each other.
Yeah.
And the group that listened to classical music, they got better with the maze. Yeah. They found the cheese much faster. Yeah. So. I don't know. So that just says a lot about, you know.
Yeah, but there have been hundreds of those kind of experiments. So that's what I said earlier. The scientific proof is just incontrovertible.
Is it possible what Jan said, that it works for those mice because they're not as exposed as the...
So, So these mice over here, their mama played Mozart when they were growing up, huh?
Yeah.
That's why they responded so well.
I'm just trying to see, you said your example is Bach for godly music.
Yeah.
Like Mozart is also classical music, right? But he lived a sinful life.
Yeah, he did, sure.
So,
yeah, right.
So
yeah, well, some people who write praise and worship music are fornicators and adulterers. Some of the songs that are beautiful worship songs that when we sing them in church, God's presence comes. The people, while they were writing them, they were sleeping with their secretary. So, you see, so our mentality is it's the intent of the person. It's not just that. It's not just that. There are forms. So, I mean, we have to believe that God would give some kind of principles and regulations on what would be right and wrong in music, right? I mean, doesn't that make sense? A God who would leave us without any principles on how to judge between good and bad when it comes to something that's so significant and so much a part of our life? So that's the basic premise, is God must have principles of forms of the way to express music that are godly. And therefore, the perversion of that must be ungodly. And what we can't say and shouldn't say is that forms in themselves are just completely neutral. So whatever, however you want to express yourself to God, feel free to do it. I don't think that's accurate. Lee.
I think it's important for us, especially as leaders, to get this down to the people we lead. Because... whether we like it or not, they're also artists like us. They have somehow the freedom to express themselves, and I just appreciate the part where we said that you know, the way God has defined us, the way God has defined acceptable worship is already comprehensible for us, and we need to get that communicated to everyone because it's crucial. People can be sincere, but they can be sincerely wrong.
Yeah.
So.
True.
Yeah, just.
Sincerely wrong. Other pushback, questions, comments, thoughts.
Pastor Paul, how do we know about the forms? Which forms would most likely be? Are there any defined?
Well, I think there are principles. I think it's the spiritual, physiological, psychological effect they have on you. I mean, I think that's a great indicator, right? So, Jan's example of the scientific experiment, right? So, why does musical forms, why do they increase concentration? I mean, these experiments have been done with children, with people, with in just every kind of, not just mice, right? Jaded. For your answer, yes, not just mice. And musical forms have significant effects, both positively and negatively, in just every experiment that's been done. Even with, they've done this with plants. Yeah, where they've had plants, and again, playing classical forms, and then playing death metal or or very dissonant kinds of forms. And not only do the plants listening to the death metal, not only do they die, but they tend to grow away from the speakers. And the ones who are listening to classical music, they grow towards the speakers. Yeah, as you see, after a few days, the tree has begun to bend towards the direction of the music. It's fascinating. So not only does it affect mice and people, but even the inanimate world is responding positively to something in the musical form that is tapped into a biblical, a godly way of doing things, and it's producing life and fruitfulness and all sorts of abundant emotions.
Pastor Paul, just as a follow-up, so are you saying this is more, it's more spiritual thing than scientific, or is it?
I'm saying that science have just have discovered something that's true. Sure. So they're having an emotional response. Are they worshiping? Yeah. They're certainly having an emotional response. I can't give you a delineation. See, that's what I don't think the Bible does. If you want a nice little line, I don't think there's any lines. I don't think there's a line. I think there's just there's a continuum. So, because personal preference and taste and musical proclivities all come into account here. So, Lee, in responding to your statement, I personally believe, and I just have anecdotal evidence of 37 years in ministry and watching people coming out of things, as people really begin to grow and have a real encounter with the gospel, the music that they used to listen to, it doesn't do it for them anymore. And that's a gradual process, but it's the process of sanctification. They're becoming more and more biblical. Although in the early days, you know, they might still, because there's emotional connections and there's neural connections to different things. But as they grow more in Christ, those old forms tend to not
affect them like that. Just wanted to make this short comment. I was reminded of how Pastor Nixon would at least advise me to on how to go about, because I really reach out to artists, particularly singers and sometimes dancers, because they want mentoring from me.
Well, they can see your dancing skills.
But he told me three things as a tool to help me and to help other people. It's three things. It's the Holy Spirit, God's Word, and God's people. And when you have the three and the three agree, they then to tell you exactly where you should be going. And at least for that part where, you know, the forms can be subjective at first, you'll see firstly the Holy Spirit confirming if it really is you or him. It's just a burst of emotion. And then, of course, God's Word, where it's so clear and people bearing witness to what you claim to be God's Word and how you interpret it. So just something.
Yeah. Other thoughts, comments? I would like to say, Alma, put a microphone on there, would you please?
Pastor, you said that the premise should be God must have principles in a song.
Yeah, right? Principles for how music should look.
And then you answer the question of Mike about being spiritual, physiological, and psychological.
Yeah.
Then if they should be God must have principles, then we should go back biblically. And then, so we should follow what the Bible says then. So what the songs that we're doing then, are they all biblical now? See, you know, that's making like the music.
The musical
right,
forms.
Right, the musical forms, right.
Yeah, I think the musical form, I mean, what we use is basically pop rock, right? I mean, that's the basic music form, right? So is it as biblical as Bach? I don't think so. Is it redeemable? Absolutely. And does it connect with our audience? Certainly it does. So to me, that's enough. And we're gonna look as we progress here, if we ever get there. There's some things later on we're gonna look at. But this is great. This is fun. I'd rather do this. There are some tests we can make as to what kind of forms we should use. Okay, what kind of forms should we use? We're going to look at some of those as we progress here, okay? So there's some questions we ask ourselves about that. So, of course, the first one would be, is the form itself redeemable? And the answer is yes. My last thought, maybe my last thought on this, is I think I don't want you to think that I am limiting or restricting. I want to expand. I'm a little tired myself of just the same pretty much basic kind of form, you know? And I think God is so much more creative than that. And there are musical forms that the church has used all throughout history that are beautiful, that can be absorbed and reworked in a 21st century context. And I think we could create songs with an incredible amount of creativity that would break out of this little pop rock box and startle the world with beautiful art that also glorifies God by looking at these forms and studying them and seeing how we can incorporate them into various different kinds of songs, probably more as specials in the beginning, but as we cultivate an audience that gets used to hearing all kinds of different musical forms. I think, number one, that would be glorifying to God because He loves diversity. Number two, I think it would be very appealing to the lost, especially young people who like experimentation and new things and hearing it done well. So I think there's a whole world out there of experimentation and musical forms that we've not touched. We're probably not going to use Anthrax. I think that may be close to unredeemable. Close. At least I'm going to be involved. But there's plenty of things out there and available for us. All right? That was our whole session, so...